KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I'm Brad Pollock in studio with Bob Leonard. Gary Bell's out of town today. We're here talking to you about a personal injury topic. We come to you every single Sunday morning to talk to you about a personal injury topic. We've been doing this for the last 15 years or so, coming here to you on this station, other stations up and down your dial, to make sure that you understand personal injury topics, and hopefully there are things that you can take and you can understand, and you can use them in the event you've been injured. Sometimes you can use them to prevent the potential of injury or to prevent injuring others. We are located at 7555 East Hamden Avenue in Denver. We have other locations in Steamboat Springs. We practice and will handle your personal injury case throughout the entire state of Colorado. Quite often you see ads, you see attorneys talking and wanting your business. Well, we'd like your business too. We believe, though, that the best way to make sure you're protected and to help you with your business and to be your lawyers is to educate you, to let you know in advance things you can do, things you can't do, and things that you might be able to understand and receive compensation for, to be properly compensated for your injuries. We're a little different tilt on how to handle these things. We are a full-service law firm for personal injury cases. Any kind of injury that you've experienced, we will take care of for you. You need to call us. If you call us, you can call us at 303-795-5900. We will make sure you get to talk to an attorney, not to a case manager or somebody who is going to try to just sign you up real quick. We won't rake in or pull you in by saying we're going to give you an immediate case evaluation. Sometimes we can give you an immediate case evaluation. Other times, we're going to have to learn more about you. We're going to have to learn more about the other side. We're going to have to learn more about what they're saying. A lot of a case evaluation requires that you know what kind of insurance the other side has. So there's going to be questions about that. We are available 24/7. We have answering services when we're not there. We're 7 days a week. We have attorneys on call that if it's an emergency and you need to talk to an attorney, you can. Yes, it's nice to talk to you as soon as possible after the crash, when the crash has occurred, but it's not essential. And as a matter of fact, I'm not even so sure it's advisable that you be calling from your car where you've just been smashed and while you're laying there in your car hurt, or why if you're calling from the ambulance. Yes, you want to be careful about the interviews you're giving at that point and what you're saying, but most of the time, what you're going to be saying in the interviews you're going to be giving is how much you hurt and what you need to do to get better. Yes, you should call as soon as possible after that, but for those of you who were hurt a year ago, hurt a year and a half ago, the statute of limitations on a car crash case is 3 years, so if you're still in pain, give us a call. If you still have problems, give us a call if you've hurt, and or if you just never followed up on your right to recovery, give us a call. For those of you who have been injured on a premises liability case or some other kind of case, negligence of another, the statute of limitations is 2 years, and feel free to give us a call at that point. Bob, we talk a lot of times about in our office about the new thing that comes out when people are trying to find a reason to when lawyers are finding a reason to have people call. We've had great results in our offices. We've been together since 1984. We're very well established. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of education for our clients for them to understand what they really want to do.
You know, Brad, one thing that's unique about Bell and Pollock is that you mentioned we don't necessarily have case managers. You're going to talk to one attorney. He's going to be with you the whole time. It's from cradle to grave. And, unlike some of the other large firms where maybe you have a case manager and maybe meet the attorney one time. You know, Brad, I think today is an interesting topic coming up with Halloween. It kind of blends the Premises Liability Act with when you get injured on the property of another person with Halloween. And some of the things are coming up with our kids out there in the streets trying to collect candy. in costumes and putting himself in the position where maybe they can get, might be hurt.
You know, and there's going to be a couple things we're going to do. We'll probably visit the topic again next week as far as children and cars and them running around in their costumes and being a danger on the streets. And what it is with when you're driving in the pedestrian liability. Today, we're going to talk to you about attractive nuisance. And attractive nuisance is an exception to the premises liability law. If you have a question or if you've been hurt or if you need a lawyer or if you want to find out anything, you know, look at our website, championsofthepeople.com. A lot of our shows are still on there, and we have a way that you can get to all of our shows so you can find out different topics. championsofthepeople.com, bellpollock.com, or call us at 303-795-5900. Now, when we want to talk about attractive nuisance, the first thing we have to set the stage for you is we have to talk about the premises liability case. Years ago, our legislature and our courts found it necessary and decided that they would reorganize the Premises Liability Act and take it out of the common law practice, and they would move it into a legislative right of recovery. And the legislative right of recovery came about by saying we're going to have what we call is the Premises Liability Act. And that Premises Liability Act, they talk about certain classifications, Bob, and there's three classifications that a person normally has when they come onto your property.
There's the three, yeah, that's true, Brad, the three classifications. The first class, I'll say, will be an invitee. An invitee is a person who comes on your property for your benefit. So, for example, if you go to a store, you go to a market to buy food or something like that, you're on their property to transact business, to buy food. You give them money, they give you product back. Or you go to someone's house and say you sell something. At that point, you're still an invitee, and because you're there to transact some kind of business. But that can quickly change. If you go to someone's house as a social guest, you're no longer an invitee. You become a licensee. Now, the difference between a licensee and an invitee is the standard of care. If you're a person on property as a invitee, they have to protect you from those dangerous conditions on the property that they knew about or should have known about. On a licensee, it's like a social guest coming to your house, you only need to protect them, warn them about those things that they should have, that they know about. For example, if you have, let's say, a faulty staircase or a hole in the yard, that would be something that you'd have to tell the people about, to warn them about. But if you don't know about it, get hurt, you may not be responsible as a licensee, maybe your invitee. And the third category would be a trespasser. If someone comes onto your property without your permission, gets hurt on your property, there's like the likelihood of them recovering against you is pretty small, because they shouldn't have been on the property anyway, is because you owe no duty to trespasser. We're talking adults, though. On Halloween and with kids around, a lot of these boundaries are kind of skewed and kind of merged together, to where on if you have a child, these categories may not apply.
And that's right. What happened is these categories were made by the legislature in order to really help people had property and protect the people against unnecessary lawsuits from their property. The common law was much different. The case of Mile High versus Radovich, decided back, I believe it was in the 70s, it was a landmark case that changed and put these classifications together. It had identified the common law and the new classifications. But a common law is something that comes together as a result of court-made law that the legislature hasn't touched. A common law element that has always been overriding in premises liability acts has been the attractive nuisance. And the attractive nuisance is an exception to all these rules. And it survived through the change in the legislature. And what it did is it said, when we start dealing with children under the age of 14 and age 14 to 18, we create two classifications for the children. But when we start dealing with children under the age of 14, we have to take into consideration the fact that these children may not be able to apprehend or understand the potential risk, may not be able and are not able. The presumption is they are not able, when they're under the age of 14, to even understand really that they're a trespasser, to understand they're doing something wrong. to understand what their the rules are as far as entering onto somebody's property when they are being enticed onto the property by an attractive nuisance. And so instead of worrying about what your classification is or the child's classification when a child enters onto the property, we worry about the age of the child and the attraction or the activity that is going on the property that has caused the child to come onto the property. You know, most notably when people think of attractive nuisance, they think of swimming pools or trampolines. Sometimes they think of abandoned cars, or they think of the abandoned appliance that's still out in your property of a freezer or a refrigerator or something the client can or the child can climb onto. But we can also look at it and discuss it as it relates to, and that's what we're going to do in the next segment of the show. As it relates to holiday activities and holiday events and the decorations, the holiday decorating that we do. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can call us at 303-795-5900. Brad Pollock and Bob Leonard are in studio today. Gary Bell's out of town. We're happy to talk to you about any personal injury topic. Call us at 303-795-5900. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence or the inappropriate acts of another, give us a call, 303-795-5900, or look us up at championsofthepeople.com or bellpollock.com. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have or know or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Welcome back to the Bell & Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio, talking to you about attractive nuisance, something that's important for you to know as the holidays are coming up. Why? Because those decorations you're doing out there, certain of the things you put in your yard, certain of the ways you have your yard set up could be an attractive nuisance. And if they're an attractive nuisance, they're going to change your standard of care and they're going to cause additional liability. And for those of you who get hurt in that attractive nuisance, you need to be able to contact an attorney. You need to understand that you have a potential right. You need to understand that you have a potential ability to have the appropriate appropriate money paid to make you whole, to give you some kind of recovery for the injury that's occurred. Now, first of all, we talk about different kinds of attractive nuisances. And when we talk about ones that are made by nature, because I always go man-made versus nature-made. And the ones that are nature-made aren't going to apply. Most of the time, those, you know, you may have a duty to maybe fence off or do some kind of activity with respect to the nature-made ones, but you don't have a lot of liability on an attractive nuisance premise that way. You know, my advice is take reasonable care to protect against people coming onto the property from the natural-made item or object or attraction that's on there. But now let's talk about man-made. And let's talk about man-made and how it can change. You've got a pond in your front yard, and you've got certain protections. You've got in certain ways where it does protect against children being hurt. It protects against people being hurt in the pond. It protects against a problem. It protects against something where a child might go to that pond when they're not supposed to. And you've got protections. But now you've enhanced the attraction because you've done something in your yard to cause the children to come onto your yard anyway, where they might notice it, where it might attract them, or it makes the attraction more dangerous because now you're bringing the children there more often, or you've done other things that's going to draw their attention away from this pond, and you've got attractions that you put on the yard. And Bob, that's when we start talking about Halloween.
Yeah. You know, Brad, the court has framed this attractive nuisance, the attractive nuisance doctrine, as generally if an owner sees fit to keep something on his premises, something that is an attraction or allurement to the natural instincts of childhood, the court's going to impose upon you a duty to take reasonable precautions to prevent intrusion of children or protect from personally such as they may be attracted thereby. So if you make the, if you have a natural attraction, you make it more attracting to children, you're going to have to do something to protect the children and protect yourself from children coming onto the property. Maybe it's a fence. Could be other things. Like, what would you think would be a protection?
You light it up. You do things to keep people away from it. You put signs up that hopefully you expect parents to be watching if they're taking their kids trick-or-treating. You might have to put another temporary fence around it. You might have to go out there and put a temporary fence. But think about this. Think about the fact that on Halloween, we invite children up to our door. If you've got the light on and the children are coming trick-or-treating, you invite them up to your door. Now, I love it when my children and I'm going up to a door and it's all spooky and it's got things in the yard that are spooky and things that are that my children are watching. And I love it when, you know, you get to the door and you ring the doorbell and you get this evil laugh or something, or you get a something of who's there or something that scares you, or you get a ghost that pops up or something that pops up next to you while you're at the door and the children get spooked. Okay, it's great. But are you creating a potential danger? Are you creating something that the children, that a child under the age of 14 might be attracted to, might go up to, and is that item safe? And if it is safe, but if you scare them such that they're going to run or such they might be scared and do something, as adults we would say is stupid, but as a child it's just they're doing something to try and protect themselves, or are they going to run into your pond then? Are they going to trip over some danger that's sitting in your yard that now you've put together as being a potential danger for the children? And if the child has fallen and gotten hurt, and if it's created a significant injury, it's time to talk to a lawyer. It's time to go check it out and find out what happens. And now what are we talking about when we talk about how long that attraction is out there? Because we're going to be talking about an attraction that we start out with in the beginning of the night when everybody's walking around with their kids, to at the end of the night when all of a sudden you start getting some of the teenagers that are walking around, and now that they're being attracted onto your property because of those very decorations.
The court looks and separates the age group. Anything, you know, between a small child up to about age 14, the presumption is the child probably isn't competent to make a judgment as to the dangers of a attractive nuisance. Between 14 and 18 years of age, there's a rebuttable presumption that they have the competence to understand there might be a dangerous condition. You know, Brad, I would think also that people that put up Halloween decorations need to be aware that, you know, like you're talking about, if a child got scared and maybe the child ran and tripped and hurt himself, there could be some liability there. I think you need to make your property safe for Halloween. One other thing is also that we got to understand that the homeowner is a landowner. One of the things in premises liability, you have proof of a homeowner, that they own the land or they're landowners. But there are situations where if someone has control of the property that doesn't actually own the property, they could be responsible too.
Right. Liability or responsibility is going to go to whoever is in control of the land, along with the property owner, unless the property owner has leased the property and has removed themselves entirely from the property. But let's talk about the simple situation. You went on Halloween nights, on Christmas decorations, on Halloween decorations, on any kind of decorations. You have certain classifications of children. Now, the law only looks at under age 14. And when you, on a Halloween night, you turn your light on, you're asking all children to come up to your door to get candy. You're telling them to come up. If you turn the light off, you're not telling them to come up, but you still have the potential danger sitting in your yard. when somebody goes out and gets hurt on that potential danger because they've been attracted to it, if it's a child, and what do you've got? You're going to have the little kids, maybe the ones that are up to maybe 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there, where their parents are going around with them. Then you've got kids who are children who started 8 or 9 or 10, somewhere in there, that the parents may say it's all right for you to go around the block and do your own. You've got the situation where you can have the 12 or 13 year olds who are helping their little brothers and sisters go around on the decoration or to the different doors. You've got the older ones, ages 14 to 18, who are out. Sometimes people say they shouldn't even be out, that it's ridiculous. We don't want them out, that Halloween shouldn't be for them wandering the streets, but they can be out. And you've got, like I said, two sets of questions you have to ask yourself. First of all, do I have an attractive nuisance absent Halloween? I've got children now that are walking up and down the street. I've got groups of children that otherwise may not be walking by my house normally. Do I have an attractive nuisance? Is that trampoline readily seeable for a child that might get on it now or later on? And have I put a net around it? Have I put any way to protect against somebody getting on my trampoline? Do I have a pool that I haven't covered or that I haven't put the fencing around that needs to be put around? Do I have, like I said, have I made a pond that somebody can fall in? Do I have a refrigerator or a freezer sitting out alongside my house that I'm waiting for the people to come pick up? Do I have a car that's got the old fashioned trunks where you can't push them open, where if somebody gets in and closes it, they can't get out? Do I have that in my yard or in my driveway or underneath my carport where I'm waiting to get that repaired? Do I have dangers that are lurking in my yard that when people are attracted onto my yard for one purpose, those dangers could cause them to get hurt? Because once again, what we're talking about when we're dealing with children is we're talking about the child being attracted onto your property by the nuisance.
Brad, by handing out candy, aren't you creating some kind of attractive nuisance? You know, I'm concerned in my house. I just thought about that. I put something in the yard that's, you know, these little creatures crawling out of the yard and have wires running across the front of your lawn. Those kids don't run up the sidewalk. They run right across my lawn to the front door. What if I have big wires or you know, electric cords and some kid trips? He cuts across the grass when he should be going around the sidewalk up the driveway to the front door. Am I creating an attractive nuisance just by handing out my candy?
And do I understand the lighting? Have I given appropriate lighting? And I know I'm going to have parents with those children walking up and down the sidewalks and walking up and down the walking up and down the street. Do I have a house where you have to go up a bunch of steps that are in order to get to trick-or-treating? And I know I'm going to have parents carrying their little children up to get their candy and their little pumpkin. I'm going to have parents that are going to try and negotiate those steps. Are the steps uneven? Are they not well lit? Do they have any loose material on them?
What if it snows?
What if it snows? Absolutely. Or if it gets icy. And these are things that you look from both sides. And at Bell and Pollock, we look a couple of sides. Number one, we work for people who've been injured. That's our job, is to help recovery. And if you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another in a car crash, premises liability, any kind of problems, call us. 303-795-5900, or look us up, championsofthepeople.com. But we don't want you hurt. We don't want you to go through these injuries. They're devastating. They're harmful. And we don't want parents to go through these injuries to their children. So we invite you to take a look at your yard when you're setting up your Halloween, when you're setting up your Christmas, because people come look at your decorations. Some may get out, especially the really elaborate decorations. And we invite you to look at your property and see if you've created an attractive nuisance that will bring a child back without an adult or cause children to go onto your property when they shouldn't. And see if you've given the protections to the parent, to the people who are going to be with the children. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have or know or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Welcome back to the Bell & Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard. We've only had a few minutes, really, to talk to you about attractive nuisance, how it fits into the holiday season. Next week, we're going to probably, we will spend some time talking about children in the streets, running in the streets, and pedestrian liability when you're driving your car, especially around the Halloween time period. But for now, we talked about attractive nuisance, making your home safe and realizing your home is being made available for people to see, for children to see things they might come back to. Your home, you're inviting people onto your home to get candy, to get stuff from you. You're making decorations. You're inviting them at night. So you've got to think about what the potential problems are.
You know, we're talking about this attractive nuisance and kids coming to your property, maybe without their parents, but Halloween's coming up, or we have kids walking down up and down the streets in costume. They can't really see. Maybe their eyes, you know, they're covered their faces, and maybe their vision's blocked. Maybe they don't have the proper flashlight. They come to the house. They run across the lawn. They trip and fall. Maybe they get hurt. As homeowners, we need to protect ourselves from that. But if you're one of these people that does get hurt, you need to be calling your attorney at the law firm Bell & Pollock, where we can help you. We'll develop a legal game plan to help you get through the situation where maybe your child fractured an arm or leg, or even worse, sustained a head injury when they fell down. Call us, because we are experts in that area and want to help you get through the damage, the injury to your child.
You've been listening to the Bell & Pollock Legal Show. You can contact us at 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com, or championsofthepeople.com. That's an easy way to remember it. championsofthepeople.com. We'll talk to you next week.